You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
Contextually, Peter was talking to the church, the saints, spirit-filled people of God, talking to them about their adversary. An adversary is a foe, an enemy, somebody that don't like you. Theologically, somebody that don't like you because you are of God. Somebody that don't like you because you strive to think, talk, and do the written and revealed will of God. And so this person, again, that Peter calls the church's adversary, has a problem with you. And he identifies his adversary as the devil. And when you see the devil mentioned, it does not just speak in reference to just one person, because the devil represents demon spirits as well as human beings that basically have the traits, attributes, or characteristics of that which is demonic. And so we have to understand that when we talk about the devil, biblically speaking, that it's not always just Satan, but the devil sometimes, when it's mentioned in Scripture, is again a reference to spirits that are evil, as well as people that are connected to the evil spirit of the devil. Clear? So let's consider what the Bible has to say about the devil. Let's just look at a couple of things. Let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 8. And see again why he does not like you and what he's doing about it. Luke 8 and 12. Well, let's start at verse 11 for clarity. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the one who hear. Then the devil or demons come and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what? Devil takes it out of their what? That does not mean he gonna literally put his hand in your chest. He takes it out of your mindset. Takes it out of your choices. And he even can take it out of your tongue. The devil will start making you change your mind about what you said. You'll go from, I know God is healing me, to where I just wonder if God gonna do it. And when you start going from trusting God to deliver you to talking doubt or to choosing what is in contrast to what is written and revealed, it could be that you're changing because of the demonic, the devil. Look at this verse one more time and see, has he ever visited your house or your kitchen table while you were eating? Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Yeah, I'm a hearer. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart. They heard it and it got in their choices. It got in their mouth. But then he took it. They start talking different from the testimony that they gave on Sunday morning. Start choosing different. And sadly, because people allow the devil to steal God's word out of their heart, they can't be saved. Can't be delivered. You could have got your healing, but you didn't get it because you let the devil steal it. Now just off that statement right there, we already know that Satan is our enemy, but just again, off that statement, you should have in your mind now, look, he just don't know. He ain't, I may be his enemy, but he sure my enemy. If Satan your enemy, just tell somebody, he is my enemy. Done stole your healing. Stole the word that was meant to cure you. Sold the word that was meant to make you better. And you still ain't mad. I got to move on with that. Somebody, you mad yet? Look at another person. Ask him or her, is the devil your enemy yet? And this is the thing you have to understand. He'll try to make you not choose to believe God gonna heal you. And then he'll turn around and put in your heart to choose to believe you ain't gonna get healed. He low down. He'll steal the right thing out of you and put the wrong thing in you. I'm just going to be honest. That has happened to folk over here before. Oh, what y'all laughing for? It done happened to folk right here too. Even over here. I'm teaching tonight, so we ain't going to deal with what's going on up here. Let's go further. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, y'all stay with me. So we are the adversary of demons, but the demons are also our enemies. We don't like them. I said we don't like them. Ephesians 4 and 27. Paul, talking to the saints at Ephesus, said something very simple to them in verse 27. Nor give place to the devil. Nor give place to the devil. And see, in an instance like this, you really have to watch people that are connected to the devil. The devil loves to put doubt in your mind. And whenever your cousin Liel like to stop by and talk doubt, sooner or later, you need to recognize that this is more than just my third cousin. This is somebody that the devil is using to put doubt in me. Words have power. Words have the capacity to influence you to do the right thing or the wrong thing. Eve was a flawless woman. But she started hanging out with the wrong person. And it caused her. I said it caused her. She gave the wrong person too much place. And you can tell she gave the wrong person too much place. Again, remember Ephesians 4:27. Give no place to who? The devil. Eve had got so comfortable with the serpent to where he was able to ask her questions. And she would tell him point blank truth. She would just tell him exactly what he wanted to know. Yeah. It got so comfortable. She having a conversation with the serpent. Yeah. And so you can't just talk to folks and think you're not going to be affected by it. Paul told the saints, be not deceived. Bad communication. Talking to somebody you shouldn't be talking to. And then he said this, corrupts good habits. That person always managed to come by when you praying and you get out of prayer just to talk to him or her. Seemed like the only time she want to take you out to lunch, brother, is when you're supposed to be fast. Man, we have to be able to recognize Satan or demons. We have to be able to recognize lest we mess around and give an enemy space and pay for it. Y'all all right? Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Lord have mercy. Verse 26. This is what Paul said to Timothy. He was talking to Timothy about the saints. And sometime one pastor has to talk to another pastor about church folk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that weekly. One of the pastors will call me and ask me about church folk. And like Paul, it's my duty to talk about church folk sometime. And so that's what was going on right here. Paul was talking to another pastor about church folk. And know what he said about church folk right here. 2 Timothy 2:26. And that they may come to their, help me. And that they may come to their. You mean church folk be done lost their minds? I got to stay right here for a minute. Say to somebody, some church folk act like they just done lost their mind. Look at another person and say, I hope that ain't you. I had to ask somebody not long ago, have you lost your mind? 2 Timothy 2:26 again. And that they may come to their senses and escape. Look at what done happened. The snare of the devil. The devil done trapped them. When folks are talking or acting in ways that they normally don't, and you know it ain't right the way they acting, the way they talking, and so forth, it could be that they have been trapped or snared by the devil. Man, I don't know what's going on with brother so-and-so. He ain't even acting like himself. Sign. He needs to come to his senses. But he has to make the choice. Notice the verse again. Is that, that's the implication. And that they may come to their what? They got to make the choice. Have you noticed when some folks start acting contrary to the word, that the more you talk to them, it seems like the worse it gets? They'll start trying to justify their mess. And when it get like that and you don't put the word on them, just leave them alone. That ain't me, Pastor Kaya Kata. I got to tell them. Jesus even told his disciples, leave them alone. Why, Jesus? They be the blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they headed to the ditch. Some folks, you just need to leave alone until they make up in their mind to repent and do the right thing. Sometimes you got to recognize, I just need to take my hands off of it. And sometimes we talk about your daughter. Your husband. Sometimes we talk about that person that's right beside you. Just go ahead and look at them. Yeah, that person. That person. But notice as we go on with 2 Timothy 2:26. They have been taken captive by him or the devil. Get this. To do his will. The devil would get folks to come to you to try to get you to go against a seasoned word. The devil will get somebody to come to you in order to discourage you. You holding on? Or encourage you to do what ain't right. But it's what you want to do. So I just came by here to tell you that I'm agreeing that you need to do such and such. And don't hear when somebody is telling you to do something that you know somebody in authority who been praying for you and told you don't need to do it. Don't get to speaking in no tongue. Come out. Ha, ka, ta. I know God was going to send confirmation. That ain't no confirmation. That's the devil's servant. Notice the devil would take folk captive to do his will. His will. I ain't even gonna ask tonight if he ever did that when it comes to you. I believe at one time or another that most of us, if not all of us, have been used by the devil to do his will. I'm too holy, Pat. No, no, you ain't. Keep in mind, now, Paul wasn't talking to sinners. He was talking to a pastor about church folks. About saints. He did it with Ananias and Sapphira when it came to giving. Did use them. Steal that money what you done told the apostles you was gonna give them. Don't tell them the truth about how much you got. Hold back some and give them what you want. He still do that. Take $5 up there. I know your tithe is 35, but take 5 up there. God know you need to pay your gas bill. Sometimes he don't have to use nobody to tell you to do the wrong thing and you do it. Sometimes he'll just say something. And folk will just carry it out. He takes folks captive in order for them to do his will, what he wants them to do. Say to your neighbor, you know what that means? You have been the devil's flunky before. Yeah, you wanted everybody to think you were Holy Ghost City. You know you done been the devil's flunky before. But now that we know better, we don't need to allow it to happen again, do we? We need to make sure our senses are in the place that God created them to be in. We need to operate not in common, but good sense. We need to operate in good sense. We need to make sure that we do things that say that is right. First and foremost, because it's according to the written and revealed will of God. And so back in 1 Peter 5 and 8, the devil is our adversary. And notice also, according to 1 Peter 5 and 8, that the devil being our adversary or arch enemy, that he walks about like a roaring lion. He walks about. He has a routine. His behavior is repetitive. He walks about. It has become a lifestyle to him to go from one place to another place looking for somebody he can devour. And he won't limit it to one if he can take a whole church. He is repetitive. He exists to seek who he may devour. Yeah, I can get the pastor at this church. Lord, I might be able to get it. The whole church. Let me go to the other. I see what I'm going to do right there. Let me go to this other church over here. Oh, the deacons run that church. church. I see that all them deacons, they just ended at one deacon. So if I get him, I got them. And if I get him and them, I got the whole church. He seeks whom he may devour. Here come this roaring lion that's walking about. And so he's just looking to see if he can do a little something at a place of refuge. Or every other place that he goes to, he's just looking to see who he can get. And once he sees who he can get, he'll start acting like a predator or a roaring lion. He'll start planning what he's going to do. That's what a lion do. A lion will just be walking, just looking, seeing what's going on. Looking at them wildebeest, just looking to see if one may be limping. One may be over by himself, ain't paying no kind of attention, just eating and enjoying. He just trying to look, because he want a sure thing. Don't try to act like y'all ain't watched the Discovery Channel. A Wild Planet. Y'all done watched that. And he just constantly, or she, because it be the lionesses most of the time that's going to get him. Just watch. Just watch. Gonna hold that roar until they know they getting ready to go. Because see, that roar gonna scare them, and they gonna freeze when that roar comes. Oh yeah, I done got you. But just like, not a roaring lion, you can't even compare what Satan does to what a lion does. Satan is just, because see, a lion will get tired and just stop. He's like a roaring lion, except Satan is consistent, dogged. He'll keep going. See, a lion will stay somewhere, and if he see, well, hey, I can't get nothing right there. Let me just go somewhere else and get something. Satan kept trying to get Eve until he finally did. Kept it Saul until he finally got him. The only one we see in Scripture that he didn't get, and he just went away, was Jesus. But then he came back to try him again. You have to know your enemy. I said you have to know your enemy. And so he'll get a plan to see who he's going to get. And then the next thing that he does, he'll try to overwhelm. Or overpower you. And see, because he done studied you, he knows what approach he's going to take. So he may try to overpower you physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially. But he done studied you to well. He know he going to try to get you in a specific type way. And sometimes he knows how to get you because of how you run your mouth. If Satan knows you always complaining about money, that's how he going to try to get you. Death and? in the power of the what? If he knows you always complaining about being alone, that's how he's going to try to get you. If he knows you're always talking about you wish such and such would go ahead and happen, he's going to try his best to make sure it never happens. And he'll approach God with it. Look, she always complaining, so if you just let me just keep her complaining, she won't never reach that level and get what you done ordained for her to have. And if God allows the devil or demons to do what he permitted him to do with Job, he may allow him to do it with you. It's reading, you don't need to complain. You know, even complaining gets on God's nerve. Yeah, God reminded Moses of what Israel was doing. He said, do you know these folk have complained so many times? He remembered that they had complained. But he will try to overpower you with whatever he has seen about you that he feels like he can overpower. I need to break it down a little bit more because some of y'all look in a certain way. Now, I'm going to break it down a little bit more. That's okay. And so, he knew Jesus was hungry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was here last Tuesday. Yeah. And so since last Tuesday, he hadn't had nothing to eat yet either. 40 days. I know he's getting ready to eat, so I better go on in there and try to get him right now. Hey, Jesus. Let me put something before you. I know you're hungry. Yeah, because you ain't ate in 40 days. You ain't ate in 40 days. Now, if you really Emmanuel, Son of God, God in flesh, if you turn them rocks right there into some bread, that'll be real good for you right now. Take away all that little hunger pain and that growling in your stomach. He knew what was going on with him. And I'm going to tell you something. When you fast, and some of us, after we done fasted about 3 days, stuff we done vowed we wouldn't eat started looking pretty good. And then 10 days go by. It seemed like that your senses ain't got so heightened to where you can smell food from about a mile away. You ready to tear something up. And see, Satan knew all this about Jesus. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. He knows. If you run your mouth or if you're going through something, he knows, and he'll try to overpower you based upon what he knows. And the second and final thing that he will do, if he can overpower you, he'll try to wear you out. He'll try to wear you out until he's completely done with you. Yes, he will. He'll wear you out until he is done with you. Bible says that he entered into the heart of Judas. And then he just used Judas until he got Jesus in the place that he wanted Jesus to be in by using Judas. He used Judas. Judas, you tell them that the one they need to kill is the one that you're going to give a kiss. After that kiss, once the trial began to happen, it was as if Satan just left Judas. And Judas came to his senses and realized he had messed up. And started feeling guilty to the point to where he went and killed himself. Satan didn't care if he felt he was done with him. He had used him up. Satan will use you, and then when he get to the point to where he think that you are no longer effective, he'll cut you loose. And allow certain things. And when your mind gets like Judas, you're in a blasphemous state. Ain't no telling what you may do. Have you ever talked to folks who done backslid? That they were on fire in the church, and then the enemy got a hold to them and used them, got them out of the church, got them back to doing things they had no business doing, and then the enemy got them in that place, and that witness was completely gone. He used them completely up. And it wasn't long thereafter that their end came. He just used them up. And some thankfully made it back, but it was only because of God's mercy. You hear me? And so that's the reason it's very important to understand that if he's seeking whom he may devour, he's going to try to get your number and mine. Yeah, he's going to try to get our number and going to try to overpower us and then use us up. So what do we need to do, preacher? The first things that are mentioned in 1 Peter 5 and 8 are what we need to do in order to deal with this predator. First, we need to be sober. We need to refrain from anything that may make us spiritually, literally, emotionally, or mentally drunk. Can I break it down? We need to abstain from anything that may cause us to think wrong, talk wrong, and do wrong. I said we need to stay away from anything or anybody that may try to cause us to think, talk, and do the wrong thing. Say to your neighbor, you got to stay sober. Let me take you to a scripture real quick. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians. Y'all okay? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6 and notice the implication. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6. Ready? Yeah. Therefore, let us being the church, not what? Flee. As who? But let us watch and be what? Now, the implication is this right here. Y'all holding on? You can't be like everybody else. Look at the verse. The reason I say this is the implication. Paul says, therefore, let us not sleep. Help me. As who? Look at somebody and say, you can't be like everybody else. Sanctified folk can't be like everybody else. You have to be a word person. Well, they doing it all. That don't matter. You can't be like everybody else. You have to be according to what is written and revealed. And when you are not like everybody else, but are thinking, talking, and doing according to the word, it says about you that you are sober. Y'all still okay? Second thing he tells them to be in 1 Peter 5 and 8 is vigilant. One definition of vigilant. You can't be slack. You can't be slack. You can't be sometime. You can't just do when you feel like doing. Slack folk, if they don't feel like doing, they ain't gonna do. You can't be slacking in the church. You are not your own. You done been purchased by the blood of Jesus. You can't be slack. You can't have the mindset that you don't care or that you will do it later. You on God's time. You got to do it according to his time. If you ask him to bless you and he tells you what he needs you to do, do it. Don't be slack. Because if you're slack or not vigilant, it's going to cost you. And certain things going to manifest. I only want to consider one thing that's going to manifest if you slack. One thing that I don't never want to be no more. Let's go to Proverbs 10. I'm closing with this. Everybody still all right? We're talking about we got to be vigilant. Can't be slack. Proverbs 10. And again, I need you to notice the implication of the verse, of the truth that comes from the verse. Proverbs 10 and 4. You there? You better hold on then. This is a big one right here. He who has a, help me, power. Hand represents power, means. Figuratively, you can be slack in mind. I said you can be slack in mind. Or act as if your mind is powerless. And one thing you need to have power in is your mind. Why do I need power when it comes to my mind? He who keeps his mind stayed on the Lord shall be in perfect peace. You have to have power when it comes to keeping your mind on the right thing, because the one thing that the enemy loves to play with and your flesh loves to play with is your mind. I'm finna drop something on you before I finish dealing with the verse. You can be in church, but your mind be somewhere else. I said you can be in the church, but your mind somewhere else. You can be in the church, but if you're hungry, your mind can be on Burger King. Don't even act like you ain't never been there before. Well, in your mind, I wish this preacher would hurry up because Zach's been close. But look at the outcome when you're slack. Whether in mind or in some other aspect of your life, he who has a slack hand becomes what? Poor. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be poor. I want you to understand this. Theologically, and literally, one of the primary opposites or antitheses of poor is rich. And some of y'all, you just got attitude about that word for some reason or another. But it's in the Bible. Say to your neighbor, I don't want to be poor. I want to be rich. I want to be productive in every aspect of my life. I want to be rich financially, yeah, but I want to be rich in every aspect of my life. Well, Pastor, I really don't care about being rich financially. Well, look, tell God what money he may have had coming your way. Send it to walk. I'll give you the routing number and the account number. He who has a slack hand, notice, becomes. It's a gradual process. In times, become poor. Why you don't want to be poor, Pastor? What's so wrong with being poor? Because of that opposite, rich. Proverbs 10 and 22 in this same chapter says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Rich. That means if I'm poor because I'm being slack, I'm hindering the blessings of God from coming my way. I don't want to hinder what God, if God telling me to get up and pray and he'll bless me, to give financially and he'll bless me. I don't want to be slack, give every now and then. Think folks should be happy because I gave the tithe one time a month and when I get paid every week. I don't want to be like that. That mean I'm slack. I want to be rich. The opposite of poor in every aspect of my life. And when you're rich, based upon the text and what I'm teaching, it says that you are vigilant. You're being vigilant. And I'm going to stop right there. Let's get a little hand of praise.